Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So my position, I just want to bring a conversation here with the council that, do you think that somebody that's as representative of the city boards should remain on the city board by costing us $3,500 in legal fees for nothing?
So, Mike Cusack, who seems to make appearances on Days of Our Milton frequently, City Councilman Mike Cusack is raising the question of whether Howard Steele, a rather, and I'll say it, obstreperous young man, he's disputatious, he's troublesome, he's loud and obnoxious. Okay, anyway, he ran for County Commission District 2 and did not win, and he has been a foe of Mayor Heather Lindsay and several of the city council members who are in the wrong, in my opinion, are in the wrong, in the city council meetings. And he's also on a couple of boards. Now, just for a little bit of context here, this was the interaction between Mayor Lindsay over the lawsuit, over the public records, and Howard Steele at the previous meeting, a couple of weeks before the one we're highlighting today.
Will you release those records? Will you release those records to the city, please?
I already explained to you my position on this.
So you will not release the records that Judge Duncan has ruled as public record?
I disagree with your assessment of the situation.
Okay, that's just a snippet, just, you know, so you can understand, because he's not going to speak in this meeting that we're featuring today. But, you know, still, that's the context. So he's bickering back and forth with the mayor about, you know, the public records that she did not disclose and about the lawsuit that keeps getting misrepresented by key players in Milton City Council, including Mike Cusack and I believe Heather Lindsay also, but particularly Mike. So now Mike is raising the question, look, you know, this lawsuit cost us $68,000. And the follow-up lawsuit from Howard Steele cost us another $3,500. And should people who are costing the city money like that continue to be on these boards? I mean, I'm totally for people filing whatever lawsuits they want to file. You know, whenever people issue disclaimers multiple times, the more times you say it, the less I believe it. And he said this many times, okay?
And I would say, he has the right to do anything he wants to do. I have no issue with any of that. The issue I had is that he was not looking at the benefit of the city by having us spend this money to defend part of litigation that had basically no merit, and it was found that by the judge.
Or maybe Howard Steele thought that the benefit to the city would be for all the taxpayers and citizens to know what the public records included and have access to them. And if the city council has shown that it is completely unwilling to pursue a case it was winning to make that happen, he would pursue it on his own and benefit the city that way. Maybe, Mike, it's not that he doesn't have the interests of the city in mind. Maybe he just has a different set of values than you have about these things. And so that's why you file a lawsuit. Now, I know you say, oh, he's filing a lawsuit, anything he wants to do. But maybe what we should do is that people who file lawsuits against us, we should kick them off city boards. Like Howard Steele is on two boards. This is amazing to me. You're now talking about punishing volunteers to city boards because you don't like the way they question or disagree with your decisions or bring a lawsuit that they're totally fine to bring. Totally fine. But, you know, there's consequences.
I just have that conversation. If you think somebody like that should, anybody, whether it's him or anybody other volunteer board member, puts the city, costs the city money for needlessly lawyer fees, that they should still be remaining on the boards.
I mean, I just think we ought to kick them off these boards if they're doing stuff we don't like.
And that's the only thing I'm throwing it out there. If you think that's it's okay, but I don't think it is. I think that somebody that's on a city board should have the best interests of the city at heart, right?
Again, does he have the best interest in the city at heart when he's trying to get the mayor to produce these public documents that many of us think should have been produced a long time ago at no cost, let alone a year almost's worth of wrangling and bickering and massive costs because she would not simply produce them when Alex Andrade, by my count, five different times said, can you please just produce these so that we don't have to go and sue you? And she would not.
That's $3,500 that we could use for something else. That was actually wasted a lot of people's time and other people's money, not just the city's money and legal fees. And that money could have been well spent in something else than legal fees for something that we brought, litigation brought that had no merit. And it was deemed that. And if that person's sitting on a board, he should be concerned about the city first.
And not be concerned about his version of the city, but my version of the city. All right, so this becomes interesting when other people start talking. You'll see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
It's good. All right, no accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 98 are all looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Cassie Powell is the wife of Casey Powell. I know, but it's true. He's a city council member. He was one of the ones that voted originally for the lawsuit to force Mayor Lindsay to produce public records, which some of which she still has not. And now he is in the minority on the city council. He got reelected without opposition. But, you know, he's now basically gets voted down anytime he's in disagreement. And his wife has been one of those ones who gets very frustrated on behalf of him and the other city council members. So she comes up to speak, Cassie Powell.
So I'm just going to repeat what you said, Mike, which was someone on a city board should not put the city at risk. But I'm pretty sure you got charged for that very thing. So I think it's rich that that came from you. But you probably should have let somebody in legal discuss it. The mayor actually does a better job.
Remember when he caught this ethics charge and then had to pay it and destroyed public records and got rid of an old phone that had public records on it, and his response to the initial request for public records around the Collins hiring was, "You can get a court to come and take them from me." Like, that was his answer, sir. That's not how this works. Well, I mean, in Milton, apparently, it is how it works. But okay, fine.
Do away with it in a case. That's not actually what happened. There were findings by the judge.
That's correct.
Which means you don't just get rid of it. And anyone in this city or outside of the city or in any state can sue any of you for the exact same reason. For the same reason. For not submitting public records. And so when there was finding from a judge who requested your mayor disclose those records not once but twice.
That's correct. And then she released some eventually in the settlement and did not release others that had been decided by the judge in review that they were public records. So they're still out there. Those are in there or wherever, you know. God knows what must be in them that they're so precious to not be disclosed. But Cassie's saying, look, you know, you're getting on Howard Steele, being on these boards, costing the city money, being adverse to the city's interest. Sir, you're on a board, namely the city council, and you caught an ethics charge, which you paid money in connection with. You're still on a board.
You can do away with whatever you want. The court case is there. And if we're talking about spending money, if you go look at the records, your mayor, when she was representing herself before she had counsel, requested that the city pay her legal fees. So let's just talk about that for a minute. You want to bring that up too?
And as far as the cost, remember, they probably were going to win this lawsuit. They probably were going to be able to get compensation from Mayor Lindsay for all of the legal fees on their side. So the loss of the money is really a byproduct of having failed to keep pursuing the lawsuit, which is what Mike Cusack and the other new city council member, he's an older city council member, but the newer city council members voted for. Tom Powers, one of the newer city council and somebody who was very involved in all of the public records. In fact, it was a data dump of his records that led to the request for Mayor Lindsay's records that she denied existed. Then they turned out they did exist. Then she denied their public records and the judge said they were, and then she wouldn't produce them. And then she appealed and then the city dropped the lawsuit and here's where we're at. Anyway, Tom Powers, I love this comment.
I want to be very, very careful. I love you to death, Mike. I want to be careful that we don't turn these boards into political positions. And that's kind of where we're going down here. I was kind of sort of a victim of it because I was on the planning board. I was the chairman of the planning board. When my term for reappointment come up, I felt it was a political reason that I wasn't returned. I don't want to see that happening to people on these boards. That is not what the purpose of these boards is.
Yeah, I think the same thing happened to Kathy Ellis as well.
This is the best comment of the night. Because he's saying, I love you, Mike, but no, we don't want to involve ourselves in political retaliation against these board members. That happened to me. And as a victim of it, his perception, I don't want to perpetrate it against somebody. Good. Yes. Amen. Well done. David Farrow, who is the husband of Marilyn Farrow, city council member.
We really have two issues in this one question that you're asking about. One of them is the actions that that have cost the city money. And the other one is when we have a continuance of people up here bashing city council members, the mayor, the city manager. I know we have a rule of decorum in here, but it's not being followed.
Okay, so two problems, David Farrow says. Anybody who costs the city money, that's a problem, and anybody who bashes. It's going to be the bashing rule. Anybody who's bashing city council members is not going to, you know, that's a problem too.
And when someone gets up and badgers anyone, even if it's someone out in the audience, they should be removed and not allowed to come back for at least 2 or 3 weeks. And they should not be on any of the boards because they cause a hostile environment in here. And that is not right.
Anybody who badgers or bashes, we don't need no stinking badgers, or bashes, anybody who's, you know, too loud and obnoxious. Is anybody in Milton too loud and obnoxious? Anyway, the loud and obnoxious standard, and any of those people need to be banned for a couple of meetings at least. I seem to remember the same David Farrow. Oh, man, I almost wish I had never started paying attention to Milton. I knew too much. And the sad thing is I still don't know as much as a lot of people know. Do you remember in 2023? Remember when Jeff Snow and Ed Spears went to the group of realtors and talked about the wastewater treatment plant and then this came out and it looked like it was all political and there was a big discussion of the inappropriateness of this happening. And did Randy Jorgensen know? What did he know? When did he know it? Did he approve? And there was a big conversation because, you know, Jeff was saying some pretty critical things about Marilyn Farrow. Okay. And you got to remember all this context because I remember a certain David Farrow who just said people who say obnoxious things in city council meetings ought to be removed from the city council meeting and banned for a couple of weeks. I remember in 2023 when he said this.
Here we have a special call.
It's Randy Jorgensen.
Yes, we do in just a moment. And before we have the special call meeting, Mr. Farrow, would you like to be recognized?
Yes. David Farrow, Milton, Florida.
Do you remember?
I am disappointed in you, especially Jeff Snow. Your disappointment, you are a disappointment to this community. Smile, you. You know, I'd love to just ram my fist in your face.
Try to maintain professionalism, Mr. Farrow.
I'm sorry. That's my wife who's talking about it.
What?
I wouldn't talk about his wife in a negative way. Yeah. You were in problems.
Mr. Farrow, we've heard your comments.
So, this is sort of a greatest hits of Milton, but the guy who said...
You know, I'd love to just... Round my fist in your face.
Try to maintain.
That's the guy who says that anybody who is badgering the city council members ought to be removed and banned for a couple of weeks. Okay, back to the current meeting. Problems with having a long memory. Larry McKee, one of the newer members of city council, elected last fall.
Yes, it did cost the city additional funds to finish the litigation on this. My biggest argument isn't even that. It's anybody that works for the city or for the city council should be supporting the city and the city council and not bashing the city or the city council or the mayor.
Okay, so now it's not just costing us money. Now it's not just being opposed to us. Now it's bashing us, badgering us, and disagreeing with us. So is this now going to be a political loyalty test? Is this now going to be if you speak against us in the city council meetings or will it include social media? Larry McKee seems to be saying that if you're not a good little board member, we'll take you off. That's where this seems to be going. But alas, I see that we have exceeded our time allotment for the moment. So we'll have to return to this next hour. What? We'll come back. Don't worry. There's more. There's more meat on the bone. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Thanks, Andrew. All right. No accidents to report to you right now. If you're on 29 southbound, right around 10 Mile Road, we're going to see some minor delays in that area. But I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Frustrated with your health insurance? Whether you're a business executive or just trying to afford your next doctor visit, tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Monday at 9. Mark Fox, president of CBG, will reveal how you can flip the script on the insurance companies and healthcare providers. You deserve cost savings and a smarter health plan that actually works for you. Hear the inside scoop from the anti-insurance agents, then bring the ideas to your boss Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Six 28 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Good morning. It's Thursday. We have a Escambia County Commission meeting coming up today, a big one. OLF-8 might get sold, or at least might is going to get discussed whether it's going to be sold. So we'll be talking to Wes Moreno coming up in about 12 minutes or so, something like that. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a fantastic selection of good quality used cars. You know, 10 to 40,000 miles, 1 to 4 years young. They're going to warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years, and they're going to take good care of you because they don't want to sell you one car. They want to sell you 4, 5, 6, 10, the rest of the cars you're ever going to buy. That's why they've been around for more than 25 years, and that's kind of their philosophy, is not just that one-time engagement and, you know, hope you don't ever see them again, but really to come back and see them again. So they follow up with you to see if you're happy. I know we got calls 6 months and a year after we bought a car, and they offered to fix something on them that was not right with the car a year after we bought it. I mean, it was a little thing. It was a key that didn't work. But, I mean, they went out of their way to ask us if there's anything that they needed to fix a year after we bought a used car from them. Who does that? Well, Frontier does. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell him Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The House Speaker says Elon Musk ghosted him over President Trump's big, beautiful bill. Mike Johnson telling reporters he tried to call Musk after his comments, calling the bill a disgusting abomination of spending. He said after he called, Musk didn't answer.
I don't know what happened in 24 hours. Everybody can draw their own conclusions about that, okay? But I look forward to talking to my friend about it again. And
Johnson said that he talked to the president, who told him he's not delighted on Elon's stance on that. Musk has since posted that bankrupting America is not okay. Kill the bill. The bill can only afford to lose 3 GOP votes in the Senate. Some recalls at Ford, 550,000 vehicles, according to the NHTSA. The recall is due to airbag and structural issues on 2025 Ford Mavericks and 2016 and 17 Ford Explorers.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:30 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Coming up a little bit later, in case you missed it, we if you've been listening to the Milton, go back and listen to the podcast from 5 o'clock. Right, John?
It's up.
Key backdrop. Key backdrop, okay? But we will have more on Milton coming up at 7:10. There always seems to be more from Milton.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump responding to what he calls the Biden open border security risk witnessed in the Boulder terror attack, issues a sweeping entry ban from a dozen countries known for terror or gang activity, including Yemen, Afghanistan. And a DOJ investigation of President Biden's mental decline in the use of AutoPen provokes the former president in Delaware.
Biden responded to those allegations in a new statement saying he knew what he was doing. Quote, let me be clear. I made the decisions during my presidency. I made the decisions about the pardons, executive orders, legislation, and proclamations. Any suggestion that I didn't is ridiculous and false.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson and the chief defender of Biden's mental acuity, former White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, has left the party, gone independent, selling a tell-all about what she calls a broken administration. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3, 75 degrees right now. It's a beautiful morning. We'll get more on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. The Century Town Council is exploring options now to repair and upgrade the town's splash pad, which has been non-functional for about a year. Officials say repairs are complicated due to a lack of electricity, due to a fire in a control panel nearby at the softball fields. Interim town manager Howard Brown has suggested getting quotes from licensed contractors. He says town staff might not be able to do the job. The town's former mayor, Luis Gomez, says the splash pad is important for their families, especially during the Little League tournaments where kids just need somewhere that they can cool off. A vehicle caught on fire around Mobile Highway and Michigan Avenue yesterday. Fire officials say that fire was brought under control fairly quickly by about a quarter after 7 p.m. Nobody was hurt. Family and dog were rescued earlier this week from a sinking boat near Pensacola Beach. Midway Fire responded to that distress call Sunday morning. The vessel was taking on water in the Santa Rosa Sound. It was occupied by two adults, two kids, and a dog. Officials say everybody was wearing a life vest and were safely brought on board that rescue boat. No injuries were reported. The victim of a rental scam in Foley was nearly arrested this week. Joe Baglioni and his family, they say they moved into a home several weeks ago after making a deal on Facebook Marketplace, paying thousands for the deposit on a home. Turned out they got scammed. The person was not the homeowner. They found out just last week they needed to move immediately. And they say that's complicated. They've got a quadriplegic son at home on a ventilator.
Just need a little time. We'll go.
Baglioni there. And he says that yesterday, that time nearly ran out. Baglioni was placed in handcuffs, nearly arrested as a squatter by police. Officials say they did take a step back and release him to the home afterwards because there was no signed warrant. Well, dust and smoke have their distinct differences. This report from News Radio's Chris Bryan.
The hazy conditions across Escambia and Santa Rosa counties is not the Saharan dust, but the dust is coming. The main culprit is likely the 2,000-acre prescribed burn near Hurlburt Field. Multiple pile burns are also underway in the area, but are not having a significant impact on the smoke. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Chris. Well, Florida's appealing a federal court ruling that blocked a 2023 law aimed at preventing kids from attending drag shows. Attorney General James Uthmeyer's requested a hearing from the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He argues the law is necessary to protect minors from adult performances. And despite critics claiming the law is vague and infringes on First Amendment rights, the appeal comes as the court also considers another case regarding a drag show in Naples. In that case, the city was seeking to impose restrictions. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Starting to see some slowdowns if you're on Davis Highway going southbound toward Olive Road, just due to congestion right there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be dealing with the chance of rain as you go throughout your day. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High today near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Friday, 40% chance of rain. High near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78 degrees. Going into Saturday, keeping those daily showers around with a 40% chance of rain. High near 89. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we're seeing 77 degrees in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news is at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields stabilized this morning after sharp declines notched yesterday on the back of a slate of disappointing U.S. data. The two-year yield rose less than one basis point to 3.885%, with the 10-year Treasury yield also up by less than one basis point at 4.371%. Ontario Premier Doug Ford is pushing back against President Trump's 50% tariffs on Canadian steel and aluminum, calling it an economic war against Canadian and American businesses and citizens. Ford said on ABC News Live that he plans to move manufacturing back to Ontario in response. Circle Internet Group has priced its initial public offering at $31 per share. That tops the expected range of $27 to $28 per share. The IPO price gives the company a total market value of $6.8 billion. Shares will trade on the New York Stock Exchange under the symbol CRCL. Futures are currently mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 91. That's Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with IZERVAY, you can
slow it down.
IZERVAY slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. IZERVAY, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 for the Pensacola Expert Panel with me, Eldon Scott, your host, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing barbecue prizes, and hear how Sunny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. We're spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Make sure to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh my God, I just saw the funniest thing. It has nothing to do with West Miranda, but I'm going to tell you here. It was a picture of aircraft carriers of the world, and it has USA, and it had a picture of a Nimitz class, and then it was UK, and it had a picture of a similar with their little sloped front deck, and then it had a picture of a France aircraft carrier and one of their aircraft carriers, and then it was Ukraine, and it was a picture of a box truck. Oh, that's fantastic. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator. We have a committee of the whole and an agenda conference this morning. We have a regular meeting this afternoon. A lot of stuff on the agenda. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be here this morning.
Great to have you. Let's start with something that I guess happened and I did not realize it. You and I have talked many times about ECAT, mass transit. Recently, we were talking about the push to microtransit, something I'm a big fan of because it's more efficient, in my opinion, and you don't have to waste all the money and the gas on those big trucks. You can just go where it needs to be, and it's more adaptive. But I always thought microtransit was only for, like, paratransit. It was for people who with disabilities. But you tell me that that's not the case now? Something new has happened?
It is for everyone. Everyone who rides or takes advantage of mass transit or needs mass transit. We have an app. You can download it off the Apple Store, the Google Play Store, and install it, set up your account, and you can schedule your rides. Everybody can do it. It's $2.50. We'll pick you up at whatever address you're at, and we'll take you to wherever address you want to go to.
Escambia County has a $2.50 universal Uber system through apps now?
Pretty much.
Wow.
We're trying to get the word out. I think you're going to see it hitting some of the media here shortly, probably next week. Andrew, you're always invited to participate in that ride-along, and we're going to get you set up because I want you to experience it and tell us the good, tell us the bad, tell us where we need to improve, or tell us what we're doing great.
It's a good system. Go ahead, Ben, sir.
I think it's totally change how we do mass transit here in Escambia County.
Has this been done anywhere else?
It is being done other places, absolutely. It is absolutely being done other places. You set up zones, and the public doesn't necessarily know what zone they're in, but internally we set up zones, and as people schedule their rides, we come get them. So we have 23 of these vehicles. We're going to order about 12 more. We want to get up to about 35 of these vehicles, and we can have at least six of them in the next couple of months. So we're making a hard push in this direction. And, you know, it's about efficiency, just about for the service of the riders, but also financially. You know, it's always a struggle in mass transit to be able to fund ourselves. We rely a lot on grants to be able to make the system operate and run. But, you know, we want to be fiscally responsible, but we also want to provide a great service to the riders, and that's what it's about.
Is the goal here to get rid of the big buses if this works really well, or is it meant to be a hybrid system, or what's kind of the long-term plan?
I think you will see just a natural attrition. I think you will see some of the buses come off the road, and you know, I know there's a little bit of concern by some of the bus operators or drivers. It's not really targeting them or targeting the buses, but, you know, again, it's a financial thing. We pay a lot of money in overtime. It's hard to get CDL drivers.
Yeah.
The maintenance on the buses, the fuel of the buses, the tires on those buses. I mean, there's just a lot of things that go along with it. Will we still have some big buses? Yeah, we'll probably still have some big buses. But we're going to really make a hard push with microtransit. We're going to start tagging on to some different events around the community and just letting people know about it. Again, we're going to put it in the media. We're going to start really pushing it hard. And I think it's a good thing, something we've been working toward, you and I have been speaking to for quite some time.
Yeah.
And that's just where we're at. That's what we're going to do.
I'm surprised they're concerned, because I would think that the bus drivers would be eager. There's obviously going to be a need for a greater number of drivers in a microtransit system than in a big bus system. So it would seem like more job security, not less, to me. But just a technical question: does it function like a bus, where you're going to have? Is it like a van? Is it a car? Do you pick up additional riders? Do other people join you on the ride, or is it just one person at a time?
They can join you on the ride. These vehicles carry like 9 people.
Okay, so it's a van.
They are able to carry wheelchairs if necessary. So they are ADA compliant. They have Wi-Fi. They have air conditioning, the whole thing. But yeah, it carries about 9 people. It's a Transit Connect. If you can envision like a Ford Transit Connect, a larger version, that's what they are.
Okay. Wow. I mean, I love it. I'm excited. I'm pretty skeptical about most mass transit things, both from a cost and an efficiency perspective. But I love that we're trying this, because it seems like it'd be a better value for the consumer. I remember once upon a time I looked into, would I be willing to ride the bus to get back and forth to work, just out of curiosity, what would it involve? And I'm like, the time scales not work for me. The locations don't work for me. But something like this, I can certainly see how this would work for a lot of people. Interesting. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. I mean, it seems to me like an effort to, take a look at what we really need, what we can provide. How do we, give better solutions to people and, control costs at the same time. So I love it. Hey, lots of stuff on the meeting for today/tonight. This morning, we're going to have a conversation, the committee, the whole meeting, we're going to have a conversation about Baptist. I know that's going to be interesting and, hopefully productive. That's what we're all hoping for. Tonight, though, one of the big items is that there's potentially the sale of OLF-8 for $42.5 million to the Chad Henderson Tri-W Group. Fred Hemmer sent a letter in that said that they're out and they're okay with it. You've been working on this behind the scenes. I mean, are we at the point? I know a lot of people have concern about the master plan, adherence to it, what changes will be allowed, how that goes about. But from your opinion, are we at the point where we're actually going to make this deal happen?
In my opinion, I think today's going to be a good day. I think we're going to push forward, and that's my prediction. And I'm going to be happy about it. And I think it'll be a good meeting. We're going to try to move this item up to the front of the meeting and not the very end. And I think it's going to be a good meeting for us in this regard.
The main question I know that people have had is, will this or won't this keep to the master plan? That's been the question for all these years, right? You've been involved in the negotiations and discussions. Words of assurance that it will keep to the master plan? Words of, hey, look, we've done our best, but we're going to have to change it. What's answer the people who are asking that question?
I think it will keep to the master plan. Tri-W has hired a master planner. She is very, very good, and she's very familiar with DPC, works hand in hand. I think you're going to see a very collaborative effort with the folks out in Beulah as we move this. And as far as modifications, there may be some modifications for allowable uses, but the master plan itself, I think there will be a deed restriction over the whole parcel of property that will keep it true to what was intended.
And then I know one of the big ongoing concerns has been preserving a big enough chunk of that space for, development of businesses like, industrial, like we have wanted to have, and that was the whole point of OLF-8 in the beginning. But then the question of, if we sell it, then under the Live Local Act, can they not do whatever they want with it? If we retain it, then we control it, but we, getting money from Triumph, all of these concerns. What's the solution on that?
That's the deed restriction that we're going to put on it.
Okay.
And developers in cooperation, they're not against it. They're for it. As far as bringing jobs and such, they've got developments where they brought in Lockheed, they brought in Boeing, they brought in some big companies that are not smokestack type of jobs, if you will. Very high-end jobs, sophisticated jobs, and I think they're going to do just fine out there. I think the people of Beulah are going to be very happy with the end result. And I being one of them, by the way, I'm excited about it.
Outstanding. All right. Well, I mean, you know, I'm always willing to be optimistic, so I certainly am. A couple of things on the agenda that I just wanted to mention briefly is you have a derelict vessels ordinance shift that is, I presume, designed to make it easier to identify and remove, because this is always, seems to me, always a big problem for derelict vessels in our waterways.
That is correct. It'll make it easier, and you're right. I never realized we had so many derelict vessels.
Right.
People just abandon their boats, you know, and it's it gets to be a problem. It gets to be a hazard. So this will make it easier for us to move forward with removing some of those vessels.
Well, I certainly hope so, because, man, it is a, I mean, it's a huge pain right now. Also, you're budgeting, expanding, adding 11 new positions in EMS, 10 paramedics, and one logistics specialist. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. I'm super excited about all things EMS and public safety. So we had the shift took place. We had these positions, and we turned them into EMT positions.